This is Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. I'm the director of Big River Paranormal, the Oregon team for the Atlantic Paranormal Society. I've been obsessed with the paranormal since having unexplained experiences as a child. These experiences left me with more questions than answers. Join me as we explore all things paranormal with some of the top specialists and experts in the paranormal community. Welcome to Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. Today's guest is psychic medium Chelsea Renee. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I always ask the same question to mediums because they all work differently. What does being a psychic medium mean to you?
Ooh, that's a good one. So for me, I'm probably going to go a little more overarching. To me, a psychic medium is a bridge. Right? It's someone that's meant to gap the people who are on the other side and bridge the gap between those who are still here, those who need healing, those who just need that connection. So to me, what a psychic medium means to me is being able to ethically and with honor and respect and responsibility to be able to take this ability and this gift and use it to help heal, help give guidance, help bring peace, right? I never know what my clients need from day to day. I expect their loved ones to know and to bring that up or talk about it in a session. So to that point, that's kind of my my little soapbox definition of what I think a psychic medium is for is that, you know, we're put here with a purpose to help and to heal and to do so to the best and ethically most ethical way in our abilities to do so.
When did you start to realize that you had the abilities that you have?
So here's the thing. I didn't realize that other people didn't have this. Oh. I figured it out when I was really young, but this has been my whole life. So I've always had this ability. It was more of I didn't know how to hone it or kind of how to work with it. Because, you know, when you're in a third grade classroom and you see like a floating woman right there a few feet away from you, you know, I asked her like, what's your favorite color? Like, come on, like a third grader can't do a whole lot with this gift. But as I started to notice them more, and then as I started to figure out, you know, because when I'm sitting in this classroom with, you know, 20 other students, and I'm looking around and no one else sees her but me. So that's without me even having to ask. I'm like, oh, so this is just a me thing, right? And so that's when I discovered really young that I was different and I didn't want to be a pariah. So I didn't bring it up. But it was like maybe sometimes with friends, I joke around like, like, wouldn't it be cool if we could talk to ghosts? And people were like, yeah, that'd be so cool. And then I'd be kind of like, well, I can, you know, or what if I could? And then they'd be right? Like, that'd be weird. And I was like, okay, you're right. That's weird. So I really kept it under wraps, but I've had this as long as I can remember. It wasn't until I was 16 and I was in a really bad car accident that I should have died in. And that was the first time where I like heard spirit clear as a bell. And it very well could have been my spirit angel, could have been God. But I just remember going into the car accident, hearing someone say, like, I just got like this warm feeling over my body. And then I heard very calmly, it was almost like a Morgan Freeman type voice who was like, you're going to be okay and you're going to be in an accident, but you're going to be okay. And you just need to take care of everyone. And as soon as I could process what I just heard, we hit head on with this other car. And
Wow.
so, and to that point, like they had to remove, they'd take the jaws of life, remove the door. Like that's how mangled this car was. Like we should have all died. And so to that was what kicked on my gift in a different way. So what happened was we're at the scene of the accident. They'd already had three deaths on that road that week. So they sent the coroner, they sent like the van that you pick up bodies in, right? And then they're like, oh, we're not needed. Everyone survived this one because they'd already had three deaths. It was New Year's Day of 2005. Yes. And so with that, what ended up happening was they bring the coroner out, they bring the ambulance out. Well, they didn't bring out enough ambulances because there was five of us between the two cars. So we had to wait there for a second ambulance. So they took the more injured people from the other car to the hospital. And this was up in the back roads, kind of in the Tualatin area. And then the ambulance comes to get us. We get to the hospital. And as I'm sitting there in the hospital room, now mind you, it's New Year's Day and it's probably like 9 in the morning. And I can hear just people crying, begging for help, dozens of people, help, help, I hurt, and I'm like, what happened? Like, did a bomb? Because it was just wild to hear this many people like begging for help, crying, pleading. And I remember asking the nurse when she came in, she was like, you know, how you feeling? And I said, you know, is something crazy going on? Like, was there a big tragedy? Because, like, why are there so many people here? And she just goes, you and the four other four people, you're the only ones here in the ER. And I was like, oh. And so that was really what kicked my gift off from prior to that, I could only really see spirit. And when I heard them, it was very muffled, like the Charlie Brown teacher voice. After that accident was when it switched, and I don't see spirit with my physical eyes. I see him in my mind's eye, but that was really what kicked on the clairaudience for me was that
Okay.
accident. And so that was, you know, 16. So you're talking 20 plus years ago.
So did you tell anybody, or did you just kind of keep that to yourself for a while?
So I shared it with one of my friends who was like, that's weird, but maybe it's just, and she just kind of dismissed it as like an injury. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's probably is. But the problem was, is that once I started, because I took like a week off from school because I was pretty banged up. And so when I went back to school, all the voices were there. So then I was hearing people at school, not necessarily to the degree of a hospital because that's super concentrated there, right? There's a lot of death. But like, when I was in class, I could hear certain people's loved ones like trying to talk to them, or where they'd be like, hey, talk to so and so. And I'm like, what is happening? So yes, it definitely continued after that, and it got significantly stronger and more pronounced to where I couldn't ignore it anymore.
Okay. That would be really annoying, I think. Like, especially if you don't know what you're doing with it.
Absolutely. And it was kind of like having almost like an annoying TV show kind of going in the background where you're like, I don't want to hear this. I'm trying to focus on my work. But at the same time, I knew it was dead people. So I was so curious that it was like, on one hand, I don't want to turn it off, but on the other hand, I'm like, but I have to write this essay, dang it. You know? So it was very conflicting feelings. And so at that point in time, my mom already knew that I had gifts. I was already reading psychic books for years by that time. This was just more like one more layer to that cake of psychic mediumship that I had attained. And so it was more of just learning how to manage it. And so at that point in time, by the time I was 18, I joined a ghost hunting group. And that was really where I learned, we called it a ghost hunting group. Irony of it was, we did more spirit circles and like meditations with channeling than we did ghost hunting groups. Like I probably only did a dozen ghost hunts in the 8 years I was in it, but we did once a month spirit circles. So that was really where I learned, that was how I definitely learned how to hone and control my gift. But that was also where I learned what I was called. Because
Okay.
before this, Google didn't exist, right? So I couldn't just Google like, I hear people. Well, that's schizophrenia. No. So But you know, I remember just reading encyclopedias trying to figure out what I was. And that ghost hunting group was really how I figured out I was a medium. was through that capacity, and people having an understanding of what that was. Because the people who were in this group were some were my age, like late teens, early 20s. Some people were well into their 40s and 50s. So it was a very large variety of people and walks of life to kind of develop with. It was interesting.
So how did that change or like shape your religious beliefs?
So I was actually raised a heathen, classy heathen, we'll call it that. No, I was raised in a household where my mom said, you know, we weren't raised religious. We want you guys to have that same freedom. So we just don't want you worshiping Satan. So that gave me a whole lot to work with. And so I went to Mormon churches, Baptist churches, Christian, Catholic. I mean, you name it, I probably went to because I'd have friends who would drag me along. And I remember it didn't matter the church, it didn't matter the people, it didn't matter the denomination. I would go into every single one and just go, nope, this is wrong. This is totally wrong. And not wrong in a sense of it's my it's that it's up to me to judge people. It's more of just like when you know something at your core is not correct, right? You know, if it's like if you go and taste or you're gonna have salt and sugar and you're like, you taste the salt and you're like, this was supposed to be sugar, this is not correct. Right. I didn't even have to experience more than a day in that church to know this isn't right. And again, not to say that it's bad or that people shouldn't be religious. I think that it's something where if people feel like they need that, it's great. But I personally was not raised with religion. So I think I escape what a lot of mediums that I run into deal with is guilt. Like, I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't share, or this is very wrong what I'm doing. And for me, I'm like, no, this is right. This is great. Like, jump in the water screen, you know. But so I feel very blessed. But yeah, it didn't change my religious views. I think it certainly made me look at like cultivated religion in a different mindset as to what I think feels right, what feels wrong, what feels man-made, you know, what feels human sanctioned, but not necessarily what's spiritually sanctioned, if that makes sense.
So does spirits talk to you about what the afterlife is, what it's like?
If I ask, but it's not like if I'm just like sitting here, you know, playing something with on my phone or whatever, where spirit's like, hey, by the way, it's hot over here, or, you know, whatever. No, but when I've done meditations and kind of said, you know, guide me to what it's like, what is this like? And the way that I see it is, A, we come from an earthly understanding of like time being linear. The way they show it to me is like three-dimensional. Right. And so that there's different ways that we can access time. Time moves differently in certain realms or spaces. I can't explain what that means. It's very weird to draw or even like explain what I've seen in my head that spirit's shown me. But more or less, that consciousness, right, when it's disembodied, has the ability to go to and fro where it wants at a speed that's really, really quick. That's something that is. You know, it can be really quick in one plane, really slow in another. And so, to that point, that's where I tell folks like, what I've seen with spirit, I can't explain, but I know there's something vastly different than what's sold in the Bible or the Quran or any of those other types of books. And so, not to say that there aren't valuable lessons that come in those books, right? About like peace or love or, you know, what have you, being neighborly. But at the end of the day, it's not correct. So I have a hard time latching onto any specific religion.
How long were you doing mediumship before you felt like you were comfortable enough to do it professionally?
Ooh, good question. I would say it was about 3 years of what I would say like mentoring, practicing, you know, because here's the thing. And when I mentor and work with people who are developing their gifts, I always tell them, you think this is stressful now? Wait till you're asking someone for money. It is way easier when all you're doing is wasting 20 minutes or 30 minutes of yours and another person's time. But when you're like, hey, I'm going to waste your time and your money, it's stressful, right? And so, to that point, I felt confident after 3 years. I've worked with people that I mentored where they felt confident after 6 months. And so, that's where it's like, when I do mentor with people, I don't tell people how long they should mentor or when they, you know, to me, I think if you let your ego get out of the way and you feel comfortable doing it, go for it. You know, my thing is though, is if you start getting every single answer wrong where they're like, how do you connect with it? Nope. How do you connect? Nope. Then that maybe we need to revisit it, practice a little bit more, you know. But for me, it was when I could hit On average, about 75% of the things in the session were accurate. That was when I felt confident that I could, because I am going to misread things. I am going to misunderstand stuff, or where I'll kind of jump the gun on what spirit's showing me when they were meant to take me and finish a story. Like yesterday with a client in the reading, I've never had this happen, but I saw a roadrunner. And we were talking, and she goes, "Oh, well, yeah, I'm from Arizona. That's where my mom was from as well, because that's who I was connecting with was her mom." And I go, "Yeah, a roadrunner." I go, "Symbolically, I don't know what that would mean." I go, "I know you're not like in a hurry to do things, or you're running around crazy." I go, "So I don't know what that means." And she goes, "Yeah, I don't either." So we moved on. And probably about 10 minutes later, she was like, she was like, "I was really hoping my mom would say this keyword." We get that a lot as mediums, right? Like, if this is real, I want this keyword or this one specific piece of information. And I told her, I said, "Sometimes spirit can give it to me, sometimes they can't." And I go, "So I'm curious, I go, "What's this keyword?" And she goes, "Well, it's tumbleweed." And I go, "Yeah, no, I would not have gotten that in a million years. That's pretty obscure." And then she goes, "Wait a second. Oh my God." She goes, "So when me and my mom were moving to Arizona," she goes, "we were driving through the desert. We'd never been there. We didn't know what to expect." And she goes, "And I remember driving and a roadrunner crossed the road." And my mom was like, "Weird, a roadrunner." And she goes, "And then about 5 minutes later, a tumbleweed rolled in front of the car and we nearly missed it." And she goes, "And that's where our tumbleweed joke came from."
Oh, wow.
And she was like, "So you were on the, so I was on the path of figuring out this code word with the roadrunner. It was just, I didn't let spirit give me enough time, because sometimes I'm trying to talk so fast that I'm not able to get out everything spirit needs to. And so, or I jump the gun. Sometimes it happens, but yeah, so that's kind of an example of how that can work. But spirit, they do all sorts of things to get our attention, and with symbology, signs, specific word, it's kind of crazy. And I never always know. Every session is completely unique. It literally, I jokingly tell people that my sessions are like a fingerprint. Like there is no two that are like, sure, we may talk about two family members that have cancer, but we're going to talk about weird names or like wild things that like it's totally unique. So,
So, talk about the difference between a psychic and a medium.
okay. So it is, to me, a psychic reads your energy. What's in your field? What's going on in your life? And so for me, I think if we're going to be visual about it, because I realize some people are visual, is like, let's say that like our aura was, let's say, like glue, right? And so all the things that are stressing us out, all the positive things that are also going on as well, they kind of will stick to our aura, right? So when I'm tuning in with someone, I can go, "Ooh, you're having issues at work, where we've got like a toxic boss, but there's also a coworker that's about," because what I'll see in their aura kind of floating around, so to speak, in my mind's eye, not literally as I'm looking at them, I'll see that there's like, I'll see a picture of like a crap boss that I had. And I'm like, "Oh, I know that sign." Or I'll see a picture of a crap coworker I used to have. And I'm like, "Oh, I know what that represents." And so to me, a psychic is more or less reading what's going on in your field, in your life, and then can give you an idea of where that's going to play out, or hopefully should be able to do so. When I do psychic readings for folks, I tend to ask spirit, just give me what's going on within a 2-year window. Because quite honestly, I think knowing something's coming 15 years down the pike, it leaves too many opportunities for you to get off your path or get away from free will. You know what I mean? And so to that point, for me, I tell people with a psychic reading, what's most beneficial is what you can change, or what we can work on, or what we can strive for. And to me, 2 years seems to be like the perfect window. So when I do a reading, though, that's kind of how I go about it. But truly, to me, that's what a psychic is pulling in information kind of around the individual, right? And again, that could be their birthday, the people around them, their spouses, stuff like that. A medium to me is just someone who has the ability to connect with the dead and the departed. And so those are very different things. Do I think your loved ones can kind of be in your aura, in your field? Sure, if they're present, but it's very different things. And I don't believe that all, like, I think that when it comes to psychics and mediums, I think all mediums have the ability to be psychic, but I do not think all psychics are mediums, right? Because some people, in my opinion, can just read the field and they're excellent at that, but they don't have the ability to get to the departed. And I've met some amazing psychics where, I've tried to develop them and work, and they're like, "I just can't. That switch isn't there. It's just not there." But they're amazing, talented psychics. So, I actually had no clue I could do psychic work. Because I used to jokingly tell people, no, I'm a medium, I'm a one-trick pony. I just talk to dead people, right? Until I had some friends of mine who were like, well, I've got a situation going on. Can you just tap in and just see if somebody gives me anything? And I'm like, sure. And I played around with it and I was like, holy crap, I can do this too. So that was actually kind of an accident for me. I was very aware of what psychics did. But I think even I, to a degree as a kid, would kind of envision that, like that Zoltar fortune teller in the box that you put a quarter into and it spits out a fortune. Even I was like, psychics are frauds, and I didn't see the value in them. I see the value in it now because I have people who will come to me with life-altering questions like, will I be able to afford to retire this year, or should I just give up that dream and wait two more? And to me, that's life altering. So, and I take it with a lot of seriousness and responsibility. So, with that, I think that's kind of the distinguishing differences for me. But I think both can offer healing and guidance just in very different ways.
Do you have a preference?
Ooh. Yeah, I should say it depends on the day. Only here's what I'll say. Mediumship is always my favorite because I think that there is a lot more healing that can take place there, and that is what I feel my purpose is. But I do think the psychic work that I do, that I see others do, is absolutely valid and worthy and should be done and exercised with, an immense amount of like ethics and respect and responsibility. But I would say what makes my heart sing is connecting people with their loved ones.
Do you ever have a situation where somebody comes in for a reading and you just can't read them?
So, knock on wood, I'm yet to have that happen. I've been doing this, November will be 18 years, and I'm yet to have that happen. Now, have I had times where certain loved ones are more difficult? Yes. But it was typically tied to their personality was already really shy. They were already really quiet. So just in general, if they were here in the physical world, it would have still been very hard to conversate with them, whether they're dead or alive, right? Because our personalities don't change when we cross, like we still keep that, for me, I'm going to be that obnoxious spirit that bugs the heck out of my kids. And if I go before my partner, like I'm going to bug him too, so with that, the more obnoxious ones I do find can do more in the physical world, like move things, make noises better. The ones who are shy, I find they tend to go for more subtle signs like the repeat numbers on the clock or sending a butterfly or a hummingbird or, things like that. But in general, I've yet to not sit with someone and be able to get their loved one. And the other thing is I'm yet to have it be where it's the person like let's say someone comes in to talk to their dad, I'm yet to be able to get to that person. Because some people, because I've heard feedback, obviously I've worked in this community a long time, there are some mediums that work where they prefer to just go spirit-led with whoever comes through, and that's just what it is. I've always told people I can go direct. That's not a problem. I don't want to know who I'm talking to. So when I sit with someone, I have no clue if I'm talking to mom, dad, brother, kids, whoever. For me, though, the ability to pull in exactly who you want is where the value is, right? And so I don't want to just have you talk to your, great aunt twice removed and that cousin of yours that died in a drowning when they were two. There's not a ton of value there, right? The point of what I'm here to do is to heal. Now, does that mean that all mediums could or should work that way? That's not for me to have an opinion on. I just know the work I do, but I'm yet to have that happen where someone sat with me and I couldn't get exactly who they were wanting to hear from. Now, if you're wanting to hear from mom, dad, and sister who all died in a car accident, and we want to get to them all in an hour, we may not have time to get all three of them in an hour, but then that's where I'll have people come back and go, okay, there's someone else I definitely need to hear from. And then in subsequent sessions, I've always been able to get the specific person they want. So, but I think that's part of how I've always worked. And I've always been real big on when I sit with the client, I will first start off by saying, is the person you're hoping to hear from a male? That's who's presenting. And if they say no, then I'm like, great. I'm going to ask that person to step aside and I'm going to see who this female is or try to pull forward the person and just go for that. That's just how I've always worked. I never mentored with anyone who taught me how to read. I quite literally mentored with like Long Island Medium. Like that was, I watched the show. As soon as she'd get ready to channel, I would take notes of who I thought was going to come through, and then I would hit play and see what information I got or that was correct. That was literally how I learned to develop my gift, was watching her show. So she doesn't
Oh,
know. She gave me a whole lot of free mentoring.
wow. She's gonna send you a bill now.
Probably crap.
Yeah. I'll edit
Yeah,
that part
thank you.
out. Yeah. So when you're communicating with those that passed on, what is, talk about what that's like for you. Is it like a visual? Is it, hearing? Is it feelings you get, or is it all the above?
So I jokingly tell people what I do is like spirit Pictionary, where I will get like a physical feeling. So like a perfect example is if someone's taking me through their passing, they will take me and I might feel something physical. Then I might like have a hard time breathing, or I might feel like pain in my heart, or where I'll feel like pressure or something like that. And then I'll be flashed a picture of a hospital room. And then I might see, I might feel an emotion tied into that. And then I might see the word regret all at the same time. And so I'm kind of taking all these little puzzle pieces of information and going, okay, we have the word regret, hospital, heart issue. And so then that's where I would go, I have a feeling that they ignored a heart problem and that they regret doing that because it wound up leading to their passing. And people go, yep, that's exactly what it is, right? So now that's where when I'm asking clients and saying, how would you connect with or understand da 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 da, it's because I'm taking four or five very different pieces, both words, visions, clairaudience, clairsentience, right? I'm pulling in all these clairs and kind of trying to mush it into a message. And so for me, I don't ask people to validate because I'm fishing for information. It's more of I'm trying to make sure I understand what I'm even receiving.
Yeah.
Because for me, in my opinion, mediums are not meant to interpret the or even understand the message. It's up to us to just relay it. It's up to the sitter, or the client to be able to go, oh, I know what that means. Or I, it's when we get in our own head as the medium to try to go, well, I'm going to try to make sense of this so that that person connects with it more. And sometimes just quite literally giving it to them raw and going, here's what I'm seeing, X, Y, and Z. How do you understand that?
Yeah.
And so that to me is just kind of how I've always done it and worked. But I get all of the clairs, every single one of them. The ones that I get the least are clairalience and clairgustance. So being able to smell and taste. But in general, if you think about it, right, being able to smell and taste in a reading is probably not going to give you as much information as like feeling emotions, the clairsentience or the claircognizance, where it's like I just know something,
Yeah.
right? So I tend to find when I've talked and conversed with other like practicing mediums, that they'll say the same thing is like clairalience and clairgustance are probably their two least that they get, and that the others are more profound and some more so than others. I've met mediums where they get more clairaudience, but they don't have the knowing as much, or they get no visions and it's just a blank canvas. So I think that to a degree, we all have our clairs that we lean into, and some that just naturally come through stronger than others.
What percentage of your clients would you say come back for repeat business?
I'm probably gonna say half.
Yeah.
And half of it, I would say, are people where they came to me once 6, 7 years ago, but then they had a new family member pass away recently, so they'll just come back and revisit. I have some clients where it kind of goes from mediumship to more like therapy. So that's where I got my life coaching certification, because people were like, I just love sitting with you and you give great advice. And I feel like I'm kind of tapping in with my spirit guides as well. And so it just kind of was a natural segue to get my certification in that, because I
Okay.
was already kind of doing it. It just made me a little more polished in my delivery and to do it in a more motivational as opposed to a healing way. Because to me, life coaching versus reassuring you that your grandma's okay, those are very different ways about
Right.
through things, right? So, but yeah, I would say probably half my business at least is repeat people. And then from there, it's just a matter of do I see them twice in 10 years? Or because I have some clients I work with where they're like, I'm here for my annual session. I come once a year or two, three times a year. So yeah, it's kind of a variety, but a good chunk return.
How do you know the difference between like your imagination, your own mind, and what is a message that you're getting from spirit?
Oh, that is the best question. So here's what I tell folks, and this is what I tell people that I'm mentoring with, or even people who have very untuned or tuned out psychic abilities where they maybe shut it off or ignored it or whatever. When you're getting something that is psychic mediumship, where essentially it is outside of you, I usually tell folks, A, It's not usually going to pop in a way where you were already thinking about something, right? So if you're like, oh gosh, I'm thinking about dinner, and then you're like, wait, spirit's telling me to have a steak, right? No, that's not it. It'll typically feel completely unrelated or out of nowhere, the
Okay.
information. That's the first one. The second thing is when it's spirit related, it will feel almost compulsive in nature to say it, where you're like, I need to tell my coworker that their grandpa's sick. I need to tell him. I need to tell him it, right? To where you'll keep repeating it, or where you will not be able to let it go. If it's your imagination, you can just go, yeah, whatever, right? But it's because it's not your consciousness feeding you. It's a
Okay.
consciousness outside of yourself feeding you. So that's kind of for me. And now I've had that ability my whole life. I couldn't figure out why I would be in class daydreaming and I'd be like, weird, a house fire. Why am I thinking about a house fire and people running out screaming? And, you know, because it wasn't anything. I mean, I was just sitting there drawing a picture of some flowers, right? And then all of a
Yeah.
sudden, I'm thinking about, and so as I grew in my gift, that was how I realized that that's the distinguishing factor. Is it typically comes out of nowhere? It typically comes on very strong. It's also really not aligned with what you were currently thinking about, unless it was maybe like, let's say a coworker comes to you and is like, oh my gosh, you know, my dad just passed away. So like when people would tell me that, I even now I have a very hard time going, oh no, don't want to hear about it because it'll start channeling. It's just that it happened with you and I in text the other night where you're like, oh, so and so. And I'm like, well, how would you understand that? So I can't help myself. But to that point, when it comes to, you know, spirit and channeling, and then what's your imagination? I usually say you'll obsess about it until you express it. Sometimes it'll eventually go away if spirit gets bored or they get tired of trying to get it wet around through you. But it's usually something that doesn't apply to you, has no connection to you whatsoever. You know, like
Okay.
I could be in a grocery store behind someone and be like, they're having an affair. Oh, it's their boss. Oh, hey,
Yeah.
you know, so it's like I purposely shut down all the doors when I go into public, especially if I'm going to go out and have a drink or something, because then it turns into me telling the waitress what her grandma has to say, and it's a whole thing. So I have to be very, very
Oh, wow.
mindful of that.
When someone comes to you for a reading, what can they expect and what should they not expect?
So one of the things that they should expect is that I pride myself on the ability to get to the meat and potatoes of who they want to get to. If you're here to talk to grandma, we're getting to grandma today, right? If you want to talk to dad, we're getting to him. What I would tell people not to expect is I am not the medium who is going to tell you, oh, your dad is proud of you or your mom loves you so much, because we know they are. Right? Like, we don't need to. And so, those to me seem like very safe, very blasé things to say. I try to avoid in sessions talking about funerals or celebrations of life unless spirit wants to address maybe something unique that happened at their funeral where it'd be a very specific validation, right? But, you know, I'm not going to ever ask someone, oh, so, you know, did you do a celebration of life for your dad? Well, come on, get out of here, right? So that's what I tell people not to expect from me is I'm going to, you know, as an evidential medium, I want to bring forward information that there's no way I should know about you. And so to me, telling your parents love you and that you probably had a funeral for them, like to me, that's a, something that you could probably count on. And so I want to go with the information that people can't go on. As far as another thing to expect, my strength. So like, you know, lots of mediums in the community. And to me, like you know, my best friend, JJ, he's amazing with names. It almost pisses me off because he's so good at names. And now I've noticed since I went full time doing this back in December, my name game's gotten significantly better, but it's because I'm seeing 10 clients a week as opposed to, you know, four like I used to. So I do think that being immersed in it has made me sharper. But I tell people my strength is really like dates and then cause of death. Like that's really my forte, right? My weakness is names. Sometimes I get them, sometimes I just get an initial. And that can be for both dead and living people. Like you know, my client today, I got two of her departed people, but then I got her husband's name and one of her kids' names. So for me, it's kind of a crapshoot. If I get a name, I'll say it, but it's not something I guarantee in every session. But what I do tell folks is, you know, at the end of the day, I want to bring up specific memories, things of that nature. So perfect example, my client I had earlier today. She was like, she talked about, I go, yeah, your grandma's talking about her jewelry. And I go, but you don't wear it. She was correct. She goes, it's just, and I go, and I go, okay, you don't wear it. I go, is it because it's really big and gaudy, like costume jewelry? She goes, yes. She goes, but I'm also just terrified of breaking it or losing it. I said, it's fair. And she goes, yeah, there's this pair of earrings that, I wish I could wear that I love. And as soon as she said earrings, her grandma showed me her standing there in a pink, bright pink tweed suit, like a pantsuit. And I said, how would you connect with like her in like this pink, like pantsuit? And she goes, oh my God, my aunt and I were just going through a photo album this morning, and she was wearing those earrings and wearing a bright pink pantsuit.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. So to me, like, that's more important than saying, like, your mom loves you. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's the evidence of, look, your loved one was sitting there in that moment watching you go through these pictures and talk about memories. And to me, that's the important part of mediumship, is demonstrating that there's life after life. Not necessarily hearing what you want to hear. And by God, I'm still working on the lottery numbers, because I'll donate to all the cancer charities, right?
Right.
But still working on that one. But it's my understanding from hearing from other mediums that we are not meant to use this ability to help ourselves in any way,
Yeah.
shape, or form. I can't read myself. I cannot connect with my loved ones the way I can yours. And I tell people that, like, even mediums need mediums, right?
Well,
So
that's
that's
messed up.
all. Yeah, I know. But hey, we all, but here's the thing, right? Even as a medium, we need to still have a human experience. If I could just call my dad on my spirit phone and just be like, what's up, Paul? He'd be like, whatever. But that's why I go to other mediums. And it's more enriching for me, quite honestly, because hearing it from a stranger
Yeah.
who shouldn't know anything about me, to me, it's more enriching than just if I was like, is that my imagination? Am I just
Yeah.
hearing him? So to that point, yeah, that's kind of where I sit with that.
I've learned that it's the same with therapists. Like a therapist, like they know all the tools. They know all the tools. They can teach you all the tools for to get through your BS, but a lot of them can't get out of their own way. So
Yeah,
yeah.
that's very similar. Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. So it's very hard to help yourself.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to help others, at least in my case.
So how often do you have skeptics show up and try to like disprove what you're doing?
Ooh. So I will say this. When I charged a lot less,
Yeah.
I had more skeptics, because it was people who were willing to throw, because I mean, this was almost 18 years ago. I only
Yeah.
charged $50 a reading, right?
Yeah.
So people were more willing, but I also found too that people didn't take me seriously at that price point anyway.
Right.
So, like, there is kind of like a marketing tactic to this world, because if you're only charging $100 a session and you're doing it out of the kindness of your heart to help humanity, then people are going to be like, well, everyone else in the area is 200 to 300. Are you the Walmart medium? Like, what am I, what's happening here? And so I always try to keep my prices just a hair under everyone else so that I'm affordable, but people also don't associate me with being like Walmart or like the budget medium, right?
You're the Dollar
I'm giving,
Tree medium.
yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but no, I find as far as now skeptics, now here's the thing. I have some people where, and I've almost thought about telling people as like an introduction, like, if you're skeptical, don't tell me. I would rather you just kind of sit with it, right? And I do tell everyone, if I can't get anything or any information, I'm yet to have it happen, knock on wood, but I'll give people their money back. I won't even bat an eye
Yeah.
about that, right? But when it comes to skeptics, skeptics cry the hardest. They're typically the most shocked, because not only have I brought forward evidence I shouldn't know, but I've also completely flipped all of their beliefs upside down. Now, some people
Right.
will walk away and they're like, no, I'm still going to be a skeptic, but that was wild.
Yeah.
But then other people I've completely converted. And let me be clear, my intention is not to convert anyone. I flat out tell people in my spiel, my job is not to convince you that mediumship is real. My job is just to demonstrate that there's life and consciousness after life. That's it. That is my whole job as a medium, right? And do I try to deliver it in a way that's healing and brings peace? Absolutely, because I think that's part of how I should do it. But I've met other mediums, and especially when you look at like UK mediums, they're less about the therapy and more about like, here's fact, 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 fact. Right. And to me, there's no wrong way. It's just about demonstrating that there's life after life. How you choose to deliver it, I think, is kind of up to you. But yeah, skeptics, I would say, sure, I probably get a couple of months. But as far as people who are very vocal, where they sit down and go, I don't believe any of this, yeah, I'd probably get one or two a year.
Yeah. So are you supposed to tip your medium?
I think that's completely up to you.
Yeah.
So here's my thing is I give people the option to tip on my website, but you're not going to get any better of a session or any better of an experience if you tip me. I'm not going to call you sooner on my wait list if I have a cancellation. Like that's completely up to you. What I do find though is that people will bring cash to the session and tip me after because I fulfilled what they were looking for. Or, and I would say that happens probably about half the time, and then about the other half, people will tip on the website. But no, I think that if you want to tip for service, I think that's based on your experience. I've had mediums where I had a mediocre experience and I didn't tip them. I've had some that were outstanding and I'm like, I feel like I got way more than my money's worth and I owe them, right? So I think there's as far as like tipping etiquette, I think that's completely subjective. I think if the person wants it, but I would never require it, and no one would get any different of a session out of me.
So for someone who's looking for a medium, what would you give them? What advice would you give them as how to find somebody who's A, legit, and B, right for you? Because not all mediums are right for everyone.
Correct. Ooh, yes. So I actually tell my clients this. First, when it comes to finding a legit medium, the first one is I always tell folks, if you find a medium online and maybe they have great reviews or what have you, then it's worth sending an email and asking them about their experience. How long have you been doing this? Are you successful at pulling forward people who've been gone a short amount? Because there's this weird, well, I shouldn't say weird because that's dissing other mediums, but I hear a lot from people who are like, yeah, I went and saw this medium, and because they'd only been on the other side 6 months, they said they couldn't connect with them. And I'm like, I've literally connected to people where they died within hours and had no problem getting them. So maybe that, and I hate to sound arrogant and be like, maybe that's the cool skill I have. I don't know. I can't speak to it. I just never personally ran into that issue. To me, it doesn't matter if they've been gone 20 years or 15 minutes, I've pulled them forward. Now, when it comes to testing legitimacy, the one characteristic that I have seen across the board with every legitimate, amazing medium is we all experienced some kind of either near-death experience or a trauma that was so bad, either that it rocked us to our core where we should have died, we wished we were dead, something along those lines. Now, I realize that everyone has trauma, so we're not walking around all being mediums, right? But these are things like, so I think my gift happened shortly into my childhood because my dad will love me because he's on the other side and he can't argue with me here. So I'm going to totally blame it on him. But when I was in my walker, I was maybe like 9, 10 months old. And my dad was cooking in the kitchen because if my mom was cooking, we needed to have a really big snack or we'd be starving because it was never good. But with that, my dad was cooking in the kitchen and I was tootling by and he kicked me out of the way because we had a basement that you access through the kitchen. He thought he kicked me out of the way and that I went back into the dining room and wherever I was at. I didn't. I'd scooted past him and my mom was doing laundry in the basement. And as soon as he figured out I was at the door, I was already tumbling down the stairs. I landed upside down on my head and I had a skull fracture that went from the corner of this eye all the way. And so it went through several bone plates to the back of my spinal cord. And so I had a humongous black eye for weeks, and I had a fractured skull that they were kind of worried wouldn't, so I jokingly, when people are like, did you fall on your head as a baby? And that's why, well, actually, yes, that's exactly how
As a
this
matter of
works.
fact.
So that's where I kind of joke around with people that, like, that's what I mean by like a serious trauma, where like I very well, as an 8, 9 month old, should have died from that, like whether it be brain swelling or, being brain dead. The fact that I landed upside down on my head with the walker on top of me and my mom, yanked it off, right? But that's what I mean by like a significant trauma. And I've been in so many car accidents, one that that really kicked on my gift and should have died in. So it's one of those, that's my common denominator. So I always tell people my sniff test is when I meet someone who's like, hey, I'm a medium, right? I'll either ask them if they've had a trauma. Or the other sniff test is going back to what we were talking about earlier. I don't believe we can talk to our own loved ones. So if you go to a medium and just go, can you connect with your own loved ones? If they say yes, run. They're a charlatan.
I haven't heard
But
that one
that's,
before,
that
but I'm gonna
is,
start asking. I'll
you
start
should. And
asking.
if they say, now here's the thing, I can feel when my dad is here. I can feel when my favorite grandma's here. I can tell their presence because of how their energy is, you know, because I can feel that energy from when I knew them when they were here. But when I try to talk with them, it's like talking to TV static. I just get nothing. So that to me is so I can legitimately say I can feel when someone is around or feel my, but I cannot communicate or receive the way I could with like your people. So those to me are my two kind of legitimate sniff tests if someone's a fraud. As far as if someone, how to choose one, to me it's no different than a therapist, right? Meet you may have to meet with them for a session and go, ooh, yeah, not a good fit. Like for me, I'm really in a session. I'm really talkative and I'm really bubbly, and I know that I'm very high energy. There may be someone who wants someone that's quiet and more demure and more calm, right? And so go find that individual. Like I can recommend some. I have no problem recommending people. So I think if you're looking for someone, go into it no differently than you would interview a therapist and go, do you have experience with maybe addicts and people with teenage you know, daughters, and you know, you're going to interview them and ask if they have specialties. No different. Ask them what their approach is. To me, I have a healing-based approach. My goal is to connect you with your loved ones to heal. And sometimes people don't need healing. They just want the reassurance that they're okay. And that's it. There's no healing. It's just the connection, and that's fine. But go into it and ask that particular medium. What is your basis? What is your theory? Like, what is the point of what you do? And do you specialize in this? Have you know, and to me, if you run into a medium that's not willing to answer those questions, either A, they're unprofessional or they're hiding something. You know? So,
So how
but it's like a therapist. No, I think you should be discerning and find, because you're going to have a richer experience with that particular medium if you feel like you click, as opposed to if you're like, this isn't working. So I interrupted you though. Keep going.
Yeah, you're good. So the last two questions I have for you. One is, how does somebody find more information about you and book a session?
Perfect. So my website is mediumchelsea.com, and my name is spelled, so it's medium, just like the size or the psychic. And then my name is spelled Chelsea. So mediumchelsea.com, and you can book directly on my website, or you can send me inquiries for dates, because sometimes I can get people in a little sooner if they can get in like earlier in the mornings. And then as far as you can text as well, I'm very text friendly, 503-877-9232.
All right. And the fun question I'm going to ask you,
Sure.
if you could do a reading for any celebrity, who would it be and why?
So I'm actually manifesting this. I would love to channel Lady Gaga. I
That'd
would
be fun.
love to work with her because I know that she's like kind of spiritual and kind of into this stuff. And I feel like working with someone like that would be a, because she does seem very down to earth. Now, I could be totally wrong, right? Don't meet your heroes, so they say. But she strikes me as someone, you know, and I'm decent at reading vibes. She strikes me as someone who would be just like a typical fun person where you just want to talk to them about their life and their experiences. And I feel like doing something that is, because to me, channeling for someone is so intimate and personal. And I think doing that with someone like her that is so raw and so real, I just think would be, and I'm not even like a huge, like, oh, I'm obsessed with her music or what, right? Like, I just respect her very much as a person or as an artist, and I just am drawn to it. And I feel like I could somehow eventually wind up reading her. So that would be like one that I'm manifesting for sure.
Let's
Yeah,
work on that.
heck yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it on the show. Why not? There
Yeah,
we
there we
go.
go. That's a way to get syndicated. Holy crap.
That would be good ratings, I think.
So too. Yeah, absolutely. Good
So do
question.
you have any classes coming up?
So I'm in the middle of, I kind of got swept into the whole ghost conference thing and then kind of lost my stride. So I'm getting back to it. Right now, my goals are I have a psychic academy that I'm putting together online. And my goal is I want it to be an academy that's affordable because there are so many classes that are being taught by people where they're charging $800 for a class or a series, $500. And I think that's outrageous. And you know, if people are curious about beginning, you know, mediumship or learning more about crystals or, you know, things like, I think it should be accessible. And so my goal is I would love to have classes that are less than $50, right? And so that's kind of my goal for this school. So I'm working at having some classes that are live, some that are pre-recorded to where then you can watch them and you have like a month to be able to review them
Oh,
as many
cool.
times as you
Yeah.
want. I'm working on that. And then the other thing is I'm really trying to work on getting on TikTok as more so than I
Yeah.
do, because I love going and doing live readings really quickly off the cuff. Like that's something that's so fun for me. And I can do spirit led or going direct, and going direct isn't super common on TikTok, where someone can just go, I want to hear from my brother. Perfect. Let's talk to bro, right?
Yeah.
So I would love to be able to expand. So that's where I've been really kind of putting my focus into, is like by end of August, my goal would be I would like to be going live on TikTok regularly at least twice a week
All
to
right.
start. Kind of
Cool.
go from there. So those are kind of my projects that I'm working on right now.
All right. Well, hopefully you can get that going. And it was great having you on the show, and we'll definitely have to do it again sometime.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Shriners Children's has opened a new pediatric orthopedic clinic in Vancouver. The clinic offers evaluation and follow-up care for children and teens with orthopedic conditions, including sports-related injuries. Care is available regardless of a family's ability to pay. Details about the Vancouver clinic are at shrinerschildrens.org/Vancouver Clinic.
Support for KXRW Vancouver comes from On Point Removal Services. On Point Removal Services is a Vancouver, Washington-based junk removal service that proudly serves all of the Clark County area and beyond. Offering residential, office, and construction junk removal, On Point will do all of the loading, pickup, hauling, and cleanup on your project. And On Point is fully licensed and insured. For more information, visit their website at onpoint-removal.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
This is Your Health Kit, practical hints and tips to improve your health and answer your medical questions, and might undo a few medical myths along the way. From KXRW and X-Ray FM, I'm Rebecca Hoffman, MD, your friendly neighborhood family doctor based in Vancouver, Washington. In today's talk, we'll take a look at our immune system and vaccines. Our bodies are amazing and work really hard to keep us alive. For one thing, our bodies are always on the lookout for invaders and threats to our health, whether from the food we eat, hazards in our environment, or germs. We have organs that protect us, like skin, lungs, our gut, even saliva. But when we think of our body's greatest protector, most of us think of the immune system. The immune system consists of several organs and components in our blood. Some blood cells actually digest intruders. Other cells are triggered to make weapons. The intruder is called an antigen. An antigen can be a virus, bacteria, chemicals, or other outside substances that get past the first line of defense, like our skin or gut, and gets inside the body. The immune system constantly filters blood and body fluids through lymph nodes. When an antigen appears in a lymph node, the system kicks in, and by using antigen features, it makes new cells that find other antigens in order to disable or destroy them. Those cells are antibodies. This process is ongoing. While this happens, you may have symptoms like a tender or swollen lymph node or a fever. These are signs that your immune system is working. As the new antibodies defeat the antigens, you'll start to feel better. And now you have antibodies ready to fight future infections by that antigen. Clever. Also clever is how scientists have discovered ways to follow the pathways of the immune system to make antibodies without making us sick. Vaccines. A little history. The first vaccine was created by Dr. Edward Jenner 200 years ago against smallpox. The smallpox virus had caused devastating epidemics over thousands of years. By injecting a patient with a similar virus, cowpox, he demonstrated the patient was now immune to smallpox. This story ends with the successful eradication of smallpox through global vaccination. Vaccines have come a long way. Some still use live virus, but are safer now because the virus is inactivated, producing antibodies without illness. Some vaccines are synthesized. Some target reducing dangerous symptoms and not the infection itself. Others use the viral genetic code to instruct the lymph nodes to make antibodies rather than injecting parts of the antigen at all. Because of the differences, some vaccines need boosters to get a full antibody response. Other illnesses mutate so rapidly, an annual shot is needed. The good news is that vaccines remain one of the safest ways we have to prevent disease. In the U.S., the FDA and CDC team to monitor vaccine production and safety. The World Health Organization notes upwards of 5 million lives are saved annually because of vaccines to more than 20 life-threatening diseases. Whatever your source of antibodies, their effectiveness can wane with time. So what else can you do to keep your immune system healthy? Nutrition plays a key role. A healthy diet with the micronutrients found in colorful vegetables and fruits grown in healthy soil is the best boost for your immune system. Other tips? Get enough sleep. Exercise regularly. Wash hands frequently. Stop smoking. Drink alcohol in moderation if you drink at all. Sound familiar? A healthy lifestyle benefits every part of our bodies, including our immune system. Vaccines save lives, but any intervention has risks. Deciding for vaccination involves personal and community choices. This is where a discussion with your doctor comes in handy. That's your Health Kit tip for today. Your immune system works hard to keep you healthy. You support it through healthy lifestyle choices, and if you choose, vaccination. Remember, if you have questions about your health, check with your doctor, not a computer search engine. After all, your doctor cares about you and your health. From KXRW and X-Ray FM, I'm Dr. Hoffman. See you next time.